Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
The two final areas of marriage that the Apostle Paul addresses in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 are, number one, should virgins marry, and number two, should widows remarry. And that's how he closes out this entire chapter that deals with marriage questions. But the first one, the word about virgins, is a specialized category of virgins, because he's already dealt with virgins in verses 25 and following. And what he said to them was, and there he's talking both about male and female, and he's talking about virgins who are making this decision themselves. Nobody else is making it for them. And they have asked, some of them have asked, should I get married or should we get married, those of us who are in this category? And Paul basically says, there is no divine revelation to answer that question. It's going to have to be a personal decision on your part, and you're not going to be sinning, you're not going to be dishonoring the Lord, whichever decision you make, either to get married or to remain single. But since you asked for my advice, I'm telling you that in this present distress, with all of the special responsibilities and difficulties that are attached to marriage when you have a spouse and, in most cases, eventually children to watch after and to take care of, and you've got, and we're in times of special distress, probably persecution, which are going to make that much more difficult. In this special time of need and distress, then my advice would be hold off. You can do either one. You're not going to sin either way, but my advice would be hold off. And the point to all of that, and we looked all of that at previous broadcasts, as you know, but the point to all of that is Paul was addressing single people who were making this decision on their own. What's different now, in verses 36, 37, 38, is Paul is addressing questions from fathers and guardians who are making that decision on behalf of their daughters, where arranged marriages are in view, because clearly both were represented in the congregation. In some families, the marriages were being arranged by the parents. In other families, the single people were making their own choices. And so Paul has to answer questions from both categories, and that's what he's doing. And so we'll wrap up his answer concerning the arranged marriages after I welcome you to this Friday, October 29 edition of the Beacon Broadcast, and after I remind you that we do depend upon your financial support. Well, from this traditional custom of arranged marriages, Paul gives some considerations in favor of marriage in verse 36 and some other considerations in favor of singleness in verse 37. We looked at that yesterday, so I'm not going to go back to it all now. But we noticed that his considerations that favor marriage were all related to the needs and wishes of the daughter. Just something that I think you need to make note of. It wasn't as harsh as some people think it is. It was a father who was trying very hard to make the best decision for his daughter. And I would say in our day, there are some daughters, at least, who would appreciate that kind of help. and probably a whole lot more that would be wiser if they had at least sought advice from their parents rather than rushing into their own decision regarding marriage and who they would marry and see that marriage fail, because so many of them do. But considerations favoring marriage, verse 36, considerations favoring singleness, verse 37, and then making it very clear in verse 38 to wrap it all up that neither choice is wrong, neither one is right, neither one is wrong, but Paul does weight his advice in one direction over the other again. We see in verse 38, so then he who gives her in marriage does well. That's good. If you decide that the best thing to do is to give your daughter in marriage, that's good. That's a good choice. But he who does not give her in marriage does better. Well, wait a minute. You expect Paul to say one choice is bad, one choice is good. But he doesn't say that. He says one choice is good, but one's a little bit better. But keeping in mind, he's already talked about the present distress. I think it would be a grave mistake to conclude that Paul is saying this is my general opinion for all Christians in all ages. No, this is the situation in Corinth when persecution was in view, and because of those special burdens and responsibilities of a family in persecution days, it probably is better not to marry, but that's not divine revelation. That's just my opinion in this particular situation. But if you decide to give your daughter in marriage, that's good. I applaud that. I'm happy with that. I will commend you for that. It's interesting to see this kind of response, this kind of advice. But now we move on to the final word about marriage in regard to widows, verse 39. He says in verse 39, a wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives, but if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she remains as she is, according to my judgment. And I think I also have the Spirit of God. This slight leaning toward singleness keeps coming up in the chapter. But this final word about marriage, to whom is it addressed? Well, he calls them wives in verse 39, but it's clear that he's particularly has in mind widows. Again, verse 39, a wife is bound by law as long as her husband lives. There shouldn't be any separation. There shouldn't be any divorce. Wives shouldn't leave their husbands, and husbands shouldn't leave their wives. Wives shouldn't divorce their husbands, and husbands shouldn't divorce their wives. Back to a previous discussion we won't return to now. But if her husband dies, she is at liberty to be married. And she can marry whoever she wants as long as they are a Christian. That's what he is saying. He communicates in the first statement the permanence of marriage, a strong statement against divorce for just any reason. Really is no reason except for adultery or the desertion of an unmarried partner who won't live with the Christian. But a strong statement against divorce for any reason, which in itself was contrary to both Jewish and Roman customs and laws, which made divorce pretty easy in that day. And if a woman's husband has died, she's free to remarry. And she makes her own decision about that. And that's equally applicable to husbands whose wives die. She's free to marry, to make her own choice about remarrying, yes or no. I will or I won't. And if she decides that she will, she gets to choose. Nobody makes that choice for her. as long as she marries a Christian. Believers must always marry Christians. Believers are not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. But, says Paul, there is still wisdom to consider singleness. And here he bases it upon her happiness, but she is happier if she remains as she is, according to my judgment. Happier. Paul thinks that in this situation in Corinth in that day, she'll probably be happier if she doesn't remarry. But again, keep in mind the whole context. There's present distress going on. There's present pain associated with marriage in days of persecution when you may be forcibly separated from your spouse. You may be dealing with the martyrdom of your spouse. You may see your spouse thrown into jail because they are a Christian. There's a lot going on here that wouldn't apply to us in America today. But she is free to remarry. That's her choice. But she's happier if she remains as she is, according to my judgment. And I think I also have the Spirit of God. The Spirit guides Paul's counsel. He's not shooting from the hip here. And the Holy Spirit guided counsel, again, pertains to the special circumstances that existed in Corinth in that day. Well, let me just wrap up. Well, I don't know if I've got time to wrap up everything we've learned here in this chapter on marriage, so maybe I will slow down and take one more broadcast to deal with that. But I find this really intriguing, this entire chapter intriguing. There's so much here, so much teaching, so much sanctified common sense, so much wisdom from the Spirit of God, so much wisdom from the Apostle Paul pertaining to special circumstances, so much sensitivity and consideration for the feelings and needs of others, so much consideration for the happiness and welfare of others. But the overarching situation, the overarching principle in all of it, is how to best please the Lord. But that does not rule out your own happiness. Some people think it's one or the other. I can either be unhappy and serve the Lord, or I can be happy and do what I want to do. A committed Christian is going to find that your personal happiness and what best honors and serves the Lord are going to end up being the same thing. What best honors the Lord for a committed Christian is what is going to make that Christian the most happy. It's only those who are at war with Christ and with the Word of God and who aren't happy about submitting to Jesus Christ as Lord, and they're not happy about what is written in the Word of God, that think they won't be happy if they do things God's way. But this chapter indicates just the opposite, and we do well to pay attention to that. So please join me on Monday as we conclude the lessons from this chapter. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.